Well, I do want to talk a little bit about amazing grace. It's something we know about. But it's not inappropriate to keep coming back and coming back and coming back to this amazing grace. It's why we have life with God. It's because of what God has done for us. There are simply things that we have from God that are absolutely amazing. And this is one. This is one right here. And sometimes we don't meditate even enough on the amazing blessings that we have, the grace that we have from God. Now, we all have electricity in our home. I hope you have electricity in your home. It's something that we often probably take for granted. Because simply, if we need electricity, we do one thing simply. We just plug in. We plug into the wall. Or we turn on the switch. It's all ready to go. Every day of our lives, we have it. When we walk into this church, we just turn on the lights and just turn everything on. We have electricity. It's a blessing. And I'm sure we don't think about electricity every day. And we don't think about the blessing that it gives us. But it's there. And it's with us each and every day. Well, it's a bit like grace. Because simply put, we can plug into God every day. He's our source. He's our strength. He's the very energy that goes in us and through us. He is life itself. So we call this grace. We all need it. We need it. Every one of us needs it. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's a blessing. And sometimes yet, it's something we overlook in our lives. So let's talk about grace. What is grace? Well, you know probably the definition that's oftentimes used, and I'm going to use it here, is this. Grace is the unmerited, unearned, and undeserved kindness and favor of God for our lives. I repeat, unmerited, unearned, and undeserved kindness and favor of God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says it this way, and this is for all of us, each of us today, even those who do not know God as their Lord and Savior. It says this, it is, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast." What a powerful scripture. It explains our faith so clearly, what we have in the Lord. Grace is God's gift to us. We never merited it. We never earned the favor of God. Certainly, we never deserved the favor of God. There's many people in this world that honestly will say, "I'm not such a bad person. I'm a pretty good person after all." I think a lot of people feel that way. People may say, "Well, I've done a few things wrong in my life, but overall, I'm a pretty good person." And under the meaning of that is, I deserve grace. I mean, I deserve it. You know, even when I've made a few mistakes, you know, it should be okay. I deserve God's kindness. Now, some of the same people might also say, there are really bad people in this world. Well, they deserve judgment. But most people are generally good people. And so some people have that mindset. But these are all human ideas of justice and human ideas of judgment and grace. And these ideas form around a belief that God should be like us. He should be kind of like us. Not like us like him, but him like us. And, you know, God should approve of the people we approve of. And you know, he should condemn the enemies, our enemies. So those we don't approve of. We see all that is based on human judgments and human reasoning. Then, as we all have learned in life, and or hopefully we come to learn, that our human reasoning has great flaws. Our mindset and what we understand, we don't understand the mind of God. Have you ever heard the story? I think it's a pretty popular story. It's a kid's story. But the story of the king who wore no clothes. I think it was the emperor. I'm going to say the king. But the emperor who had no clothes. Well, if you remember this emperor, this king, he was told that he would be given the finest garments that could ever possibly be made. They were divine. They were excellent. They were the most beautiful. They were the most exquisite, or so he was told. But he was duped into believing that what he was wearing, this divine clothing without any flaw that was beyond comparison, was actually no clothing at all. But he was told, and he believed. And he said, only those who, you know, are of the wrong mindset will think that this is nothing when it's something very precious. Well, the problem was his belief and his foolish pride. And he failed to admit that when he was putting on this amazing clothing, that he was putting on nothing at all. And as he walked in the parade for his honor, he walked in the buff with nothing on at all. But he paraded around like he had the most exquisite clothing on in the world. Well, I think this says something sometimes about our own pride and what we sometimes think of ourselves and how we carry ourselves. And sometimes we don't realize how naked we are in the spirit realm and how we are so in need of being clothed with true righteous clothing. Jesus spoke clearly about a prideful religious leader. It was in Luke 18, but he speaks about the prideful religious leader. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to remind you of the tax collector, the sinner, and the Pharisee, the teacher of the law. Well, we remember the Pharisee looked down upon the sinners as he was praying and saying, I thank you, God, that I am not like these terrible sinners. I'm a man of the law. I'm a man who believes in righteousness, and I follow the law. And so he thought he was acceptable before God. He was good. But Jesus showed clearly that the Pharisee would not receive grace because of his pride. But it was the sinner who openly confessed his sin and sought God's forgiveness on his knees before the Lord, saying, oh God, help me, forgive me. I am such a sinner, who knew his sinfulness, who knew his nakedness before God and desired to receive God's grace. Jesus said, he's the one who receives God's grace and forgiveness. See, grace can never be deserved. It can never be earned. It is a gift of God. We understand gifts are given. Right, especially as we come into the time of Christmas. Gifts are given. They are not earned. And gifts do not have to be paid back because they are true if they're truly gifts. When God gave us the gift of his Son, God knew that we had zero capacity to earn it or to pay it back. Zero capacity. It was not in our ability, not even one iota. So God gave it totally free. And totally given out of love, he gave. This was not a gift to make us feel guilty for our sins, like how bad of people we are, that somehow God was saying that we're lucky. Well, you're lucky I'm in a good mood today, so I'm going to give you grace today. It wasn't some kind of guilt gift that should make us feel guilty, that somehow we're bums that don't deserve, or just in the sense of we were just lucky to trip into grace. No, we don't. Not saying that when we say that we don't deserve grace. It's not to make us feel guilty. It's simply to say that we did nothing to gain grace on our own merit. There is nothing that we did to earn it in any way. I want to listen to Romans 11:6. Paul says it this way. This is how the New King James. It says, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Paul is saying simply that grace is grace and works is works. They're two distinctly different things. If you could work and earn God's favor, it wouldn't be grace. And so those have to stay in two separate compartments never to cross over, because once you cross over from one to the other, you lose the other when you cross into the other realm. So we don't gain before or after. We don't get grace from God, and then we're gonna earn it. Now we're gonna pay him back. It's like the debt that can never be paid back. It's so great, it's so grand, it's so big. It's not within our ability, or it's not even possible for us to ever. And so we have to put works out of our mindset, because that's not God's will. It's not his purpose for our lives. But we all have earned certainly one thing. In Romans 6:23, it says very clearly what we have earned. Every person in this life, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what we've earned, if we've earned anything, it's actually we've earned this death, this eternal death. And that we, God created us, but yet we're disconnected from him, and we have to be connected to him, and we have to know this gift of God, this eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in knowing that, we are free from what we indeed have earned in our lives. Salvation is not possible except for the grace of God. We did not earn it, not in the least bit. And so we always have to be careful of any pride that would start to believe that we have, in some way, shape, or form, deserved or earned it. We have to remember grace is free, unmerited, undeserved, and unearned. God saw fit to send his son to pay a price. For you see, a price was paid. A price was paid that we could not pay. And all of this was while we were still yet sinners. He saw us in our sin. He saw us in the worst of our worst. And that's good news, because God sees us in the worst of our worst. When we're totally losing it. When we're full of anger and rage. When we're cursing on the highway. When we're doing everything to belittle somebody else. When we're stealing. When we're lying. When we're cheating. When we're doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. And yet God, in our worst day, in our worst sin, died for us. He knew. He saw. And yet he did, willingly, out of his love. It's the grace of God, the goodness of God. So we never get right. That's always a false idea, to get right and come to Jesus. That's just a false gnome or a false idea. Really, there's only one way to access grace. There's one way, with a humble heart, by faith. You see, unless we humble ourselves and we admit our need for God, then grace is really not a possibility for us. It's there. It's there, but we'll never plug into it. We'll never access it. We'll never gain that. Because of pridefulness. Well, because somehow I don't need it. Well, you may need it. That's fine for you, but I don't need it. But we will never experience. Grace can be right before us, right before our very eyes, and yet we can miss it. It takes a humble heart that to access grace by faith. By faith. When we know our need for grace and we fully accept the one who paid the price for our freedom. Our faith in Christ accesses it. Romans 5, 1 through 2. This is the NASB version. It says this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. In which we stand, and we celebrate in hope of the glory of God. Keep that up there if you can. We come by faith to Christ. We come by faith. And this grace is poured out into our lives. It's a beautiful thing. When we first come to Christ, it is our introduction. It literally says that we're coming by faith into this grace. It's an introduction by faith into this grace that we are now introduced. But it's not where we are to leave off. You see, we receive God's gift of Jesus. We receive grace. And at that point, we don't just lay it aside. It's not just for salvation. It's not just for the day that will come when that day comes. And the Lord will carry us on. And he will. And we understand that when he carries us on, he's the only one who can carry us on from this life to the next. This gift, though, is not just to put on the shelf for that day, though that's a special, wonderful blessing that God holds for us. But it's for every day, really. It's for all of life. You see, when we believe by faith in Christ, we're simply being introduced to grace. But if we understand what grace is, we understand grace is for then. It's for now. And it's for evermore. It's daily. If we understand what grace is, it's daily. I need the grace of God. We don't stop living by faith. When I receive by faith, I now live by faith, accessing grace daily in my life. I need grace for salvation. I need grace for all of life. I am to live my life in Christ and for Christ. That's what he calls us to do. And reality is, I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. To live my life for Christ is to walk in grace, to grow in grace, to be shaped by grace. I need grace to become who God calls me to be. And what are we to become? We are to become more like him, to be more like Christ. And it's the grace of God that will help us get there in our daily walk. Listen to Peter speak to the church. He's telling them to stop listening to false teaching, lest they fall away, listening to false teachers. Instead, they're to lean into God and into his grace. 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow. Grow. It's not a static place. When we are living our life in grace, it's not a static place. We're to grow in grace. We're to grow in the knowledge of Christ. And how do we even know grace except that we know Jesus? Grace is like an environment in which we live. It's like an atmosphere in how we live and where we live. It's a place of living in Christ, living in him. And when we live in him daily, that grace, we're accessing the grace of God for our lives. We're to grow in our knowledge and experience of Christ, to be in a place of growing in grace, as Peter calls us to do. So grace is for salvation, and it's also the working of godliness in my life, holiness in my life, to be more like Christ. And it's also the empowerment to do what I cannot do on my own, what we're not capable of. And it's okay to see failures in my life, but then we must say, God, I can't do this. Lord, I don't know how. This is beyond me. And that's a good place to be, because that's a place where we access grace when we become humbly before God and say, God, I can't do this. I can't overcome this temptation. I can't defeat this work of the enemy in my life or in my family's life. It seems like he's just got the upper hand. It's okay when we feel weak, because it's really at those places where we humble ourselves that we access grace so much greater than we would at times when we're trying to make it on our own strength, and when we're not accessing grace, really, at those points. We're to live by the grace of God. You know, we have a problem as humans, is we like to live on our own terms. We like to live kind of on our own understanding. It's a pretty common thing amongst us human beings. But the problem is we want to live on our terms. We separate ourselves from God. We step aside, and we step aside from the grace that's available to us each and every day. But we'll step aside from it. It's like unplugging from God. Somehow that we are telling God the way we're living and how we're thinking is that we don't need you right now. We don't need you, and we'll do life on our own. But if we do need you, if we have a problem, we'll come and ask you to fix it so we can get back to our own individual way of living on our own. And we live like that. Christians even can live like that, with this kind of coming, living, help me God, and then the problem is solved, and okay, let's go back to living on my own and doing life on my terms. But at some point in time, we hopefully realize that living life on my terms is not accessing the grace of God for my life. The empowerment of God to do and to work in me, to make me his vessel, so that he can fill me and use me and bless me and create in me what he desires to create, his own image in us. And we're missing out on that. If we're living in any kind of pride and self-sufficiency, we're missing out on that. But it's when we humble ourselves, when we admit our need to God, and this is daily, admitting our need for him. When we lean back upon Christ, when we lean ourselves and place ourselves upon him, that he's our all-sufficiency. He's the one that we go to. We experience grace. Well, grace is it's a beautiful word. Some people even call their children grace, and I think it's a beautiful name for a child. But if we think about this gift of God and all that we have for the grace of God, first of all, we're adopted children. We're children. We belong to him. It goes back to we belong to him. And so we have a Father in heaven that we can walk with every day of our lives. And in this, it's a powerful thing when we think about what it gives us and what it means for us. I'm going to just paint one picture. Do you remember back in the 1960s when there was little children living in the White House? Okay? I mean, 1960s, that we remember little Jack Kennedy. It was Jack, little Jack. He was tiny. I think he was smaller than Ian. And his dad was the president. But he was like the only kid in the world at that time who could simply walk into the White House office, go up to the president's desk, tap on the desk and say, "Hey, Dad, I got a question for you. Hey, Dad, can we throw a baseball later? Hey, Dad, can we do something later this evening when you're off work?" Like the only kid in all the world who could go to the president's desk and say those words. That's a pretty awesome thing. You know, you've got certain privileges when you're the son of the president, right? You can do things that you or I, we can't do. We can't just walk into the president's office and say, "Hey, what you doing tonight? You know, got time for dinner? Got time to talk a little bit?" We don't have that privilege. We don't have that ability just to walk in and do that. But little Jack did. And it kind of shows us that when you have a position that was given to you, little Jack didn't choose who his dad would be. It was given to him. And it belongs to him and can never be taken away. He is the son of a president. But you know, we have that. We have that in God. We have that in the Father. We have special privileges that have been given to us. We have grace. We have mercy. We have love. He said, we have God as our Father, and he invites us into his presence. When would you like to come? Would you like to come in the morning? Would you like to come in the evening? when would you like to come and spend some time with me? He invites us into his presence. You know, what's bestowed upon us had nothing to do with us as far as it was given to us. And there are privileges that are without end. We don't lose those privileges. But we need to have gratitude. We need to have gratitude in our hearts. And we need to know what we have so that we learn to live and grow in this grace. Learn to access it daily. Receive it, to embrace it, to literally wear the robe of righteousness. You see, we don't have to be without clothes because God's provided it. He's provided us the robe. If we look at the prodigal son, he not only provided the robe, he provided the ring of sonship, of belonging. You will not be a servant. You will be a son. And you will live in my house. You will not live in the servant's quarters. And they threw a party in his honor. The prodigal son, they threw a party in his honor. You see, when we understand what it means to belong to him, when the grace is bestowed to us, not that we ever deserved it, but it is given to us freely. And it does not get cut off if we have a bad day. But God just calls us back, come back. Come back to me. Let's talk. Let's deal with that which needs to be dealt with. But here's grace. Here's mercy. Here's love. It's never ending. The source does not end. So we belong to God. Our whole life belongs to God. And when we realize and come to that revelation that we are not our own, we do not belong to ourselves, we are realizing the deeper meaning of grace and this beautiful that relationship that we have with the Father. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you know that your Father, what he did for you, and yes, he has that day appointed for you, when he will carry you across this life to the next. He will carry you. You have no ability of your own to do that. But he has already written and appointed that day and that time. He will do it. But he's also with you now, today, each day, to walk with you. You see, what dad would tell his son, all right, son, whenever you grow up, whenever you get big, whenever you get ready, I'll be there at the end waiting for you. What dad does that, right? Only the dad who takes a hike and goes elsewhere. That's not a good dad. Because the son's going to turn to his dad and say, but what about now? Who am I going to throw a ball with? Who am I going to talk about things that I need to talk about? Who's going to help me with my homework? Who's going to show me how to be a man? You see, our Father is with us daily, giving us grace, giving us mercy, showing us how to walk with him daily. And he's given us that. He's holding out his hand and saying, take my hand. Let me walk with you going forward. He is that God. He is that Father who loves us and wants us to know it on a daily life, daily living. So let there be the joy of salvation in your heart today, that you have that in Christ. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. You are loved beyond measure, that God's grace is for you. And don't miss out on living waters, the living waters that God wants you to receive today. That literally, it's your portion. You have living waters to flow in you. It's your portion. Just like daily bread, God has given you daily bread as your sustenance for today and each and every day. It's your portion. God doesn't want us to miss out on the blessings of heaven then and now. It's what he desires for us. So what about grace? What about this grace, this amazing, amazing grace? It's for us each and every day. For whatever we're going through, and no matter how we're living, we need God's grace.